I love that. I think that's the best advice you can give someone, is to, regardless of how they're living their life, you should still love them, because they're your blood. They're your family. They're your friend. They're your brother, your sister.
I'm just glad that I have the opportunity to see both sides. And I think sometimes that's an advantage for me, because I know that what it's like on the dark side, and to see the light.
Right.
It's so much more gratifying to know that, you know, this is what I'm striving for. And there's a place here waiting for you. For your business,
yeah, we're on the Lord's time, sharing his love and his life. All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Brothers in the Foyer. We are here together as brothers. I'm here with my brother Will, my brother Andrew, and we have a very special guest with us. My mother, Lorraine Van. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm actually surprised I'm here.
For all our audience, thank you again for joining us. Before we jump into this discussion, we do want to give a shout out to our sponsors at Serve Clothing. They have the shirts with the vents that allow for breathable material. That way you can get out into your business, casual or missionary needs with no sweat, literally.
Hey.
So also, please subscribe to this video if you find it is going to be very informational to you. We love all the support that we get for you guys, from you guys, and to enable us to continue to bring forth more light and knowledge to you guys. So let's go ahead and jump right into the discussion. Thank you again, Mom, for coming and being a part of this podcast. Our audience is probably wondering, why is this man's mother on the podcast? But you have a very unique journey and course that you've been walking in the gospel. And you have told me, and I've actually was there when there was a sister, I believe we were at Genesis, and they were suggesting that you should write a book on your story because of how strengthening it was when you shared what you shared with them. And so we want our audience to be a part of our journey and our faith building. And we like to have individuals such as yourselves who have had these unique journeys and strengthening in their conversions and the building of that relationship with Christ on to share with other people. Mm-hmm. So that way, whatever they gone through, maybe they're going through and have went through what you went through and need to just find that healing and that strengthening of faith. So thank you for coming on and being vulnerable, because that's it takes that, and we need more of that. And so would you like to introduce yourself to our audience?
Of course. So before I introduce myself, if it's okay, sometimes I receive my revelations through song and music. I live for music, even though I'm not talented in that way. But in my journey, there's two songs in particular that helped me. And I kind of like wrote some lyrics. I mean, well, they're not verbatim, but I want to share.
Yeah.
That way when people will know kind of like, you know, what my little journey and why I felt so way I felt in certain ways. So one is called Cover Up, and it's by an artist called LaPortia Ray. And some of the lyrics goes, there's a face you show the world that you just a lonely girl, and you don't want nobody to see her. You're the one who act so brave, but the one who's so afraid and wish you didn't have to be here. So put on your makeup and make it through another day. Paint on the smile and hide those tears away. Cover up the lonely, the hurt you feel, the pain you conceal. You're the one who stands so tall, but feels so small, but will never show it. Build a wall nobody can see through. Hide away so nobody can reach you. Keep the cover up. But this song called Truth Be Told, and it's by Matthew West, kind of helped me a whole lot. Line number one, You're supposed to have it all together. And when they ask, how you doing? Just smile and tell them, never better. Lie number two, everybody's life is perfect except yours. So keep your messes and your wounds and your secrets safe with you behind closed doors. The truth be told, the truth is rarely told. I say I'm fine, but I'm not. I'm broken. And when it's out of control, I say it's under control. But it's not. When being honest is the only way to fix it, there's no fall. There's no sin you don't already know. So let the truth be told. Being unashamed, knowing his love for me, I didn't change. So that song kind of helped me, like, in the end of my journey, because basically it's saying that, like, God's not ashamed of me. Why should I be ashamed of the choices I made? So I was born the last of eight siblings. I have
eight. Wow.
Yeah. And I was the youngest, but I felt that I was the oldest, and I had a lot of responsibility. I was raised in Kansas City, Missouri, T.B. Watkins Projects, and seen a lot of tragedy, seen a lot of loss, had a lot of hard times. But and my family dynamic is weird. You guys are too young probably to remember this show called The Monsters. I felt like I was Marilyn. She was the only normal one, and everybody had a different character. He was like the grandpa was like something, and a wolf, and then the son was this, and it was like, but there was Marilyn, and she was like normal, and she kind of like kept the family all together. But anyway, I felt like that in my family, and I kind of like, I joke about that with a friend. But to skip ahead, you know, I got married. Well, actually, I was a young mom. I conceived my first child at 16. I got pregnant at 15. And but when that occurred, I knew that my life would change. And what was important for me was, how will I change my son? How will I get him out of where, not having the same like lifestyle that I had to grow up in to make a change? I didn't know how that was going to happen, but the Lord worked it out. And long story short, me and his dad eventually got married, and we didn't get married in the church. And then he came across a coworker that was a member of the church, and asked him a question that one of the pastors said that he didn't believe. And he knew that Kent was a Mormon at the time, and he invited the missionaries. And at the time where we lived, you didn't see a missionary. It was like, I don't even think they would have been safe in the neighborhood. They would if they would have even made it out of the neighborhood. So we took discussions at their house. And that's kind of like how I came into the gospel.
And to this day, I have to backtrack just a little bit.
Okay.
Me or my brother can't go nowhere with you without people thinking she's our wife.
I know.
Like, don't crack.
Are y'all dating?
No. Literally, yes. Like, when I came here, even in the ward here, oh, you're Isaiah's wife. I'm thinking, Isaiah, if somebody asked me if I'm your wife, I said, haven't they seen Veronica? I'm like, no, I'm his mom. Yeah, I mean, I did just have a birthday recently. Monday, actually, I turned 61.
Oh, happy birthday.
So, you know, it's like, how are people still asking me, oh, this is my son? Like, but I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah. It's very much complimental.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing what you have thus far and giving us that background about yourself. Do want our audience to know, and we're not going to jump ahead a little bit, because we do want to know more about your journey and how you came into the gospel, but once you came into the gospel, what that was like for you until you found yourself not being fully active in the gospel.
Okay. To be honest, I'm going to be perfectly honest. When your dad kind of like, introduced me to Kent and asked about the missionaries, it was just something that I followed him. It's not like, I mean, not that it was a bad thing, because, you know, I knew God, because my mom, you know, I watched her pray, and, you know, and we But when we came into the gospel through the LDS, it's kind of like I took the discussions. I felt good. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt good about being baptized. And, you know, I didn't totally understand what the Book of Mormon was. I mean, I read it, but I still didn't comprehend it. So I kind of like just follow the way I was feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how, you know, and I was like, oh, yeah. And I wanted to be baptized. So I was just like, you know, that's what I'll do. And so, but not that that was a bad thing, but it was just like, you know, now that I look back over my life, it is like nobody makes you make decisions. But I did. I do know that I followed him because that's what he wanted to do, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, I mean, once I got baptized and came to the church, you know, I mean, it was good. But did I have a testimony? No, I thought I did, but I didn't.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Like, did you even know?
No. And to be honest, you know, I got baptized August 10th of 1984. And I actually, we went to the temple and got sealed in 1987.
Oh, wow.
And I had no clue what I had done. You know, and that's the sad thing for me. But it was sad at first, but it's not sad anymore because, like, literally, my mind was just thinking, oh, I'm going to have my family for eternity. You know, and as a young wife, as a young mom, it's like, who don't want to be with their family, you know,
right.
And with their family. And to me, that's the only thing the temple was to me in the sealing room. It's like, oh, I'm being sealed to my husband and my kids going to have them forever. But like literally what I know now, it just breaks my heart to know that this is the part I knew was going to get me hard.
She owed me dinner.
I made like so many sacred covenants that I had no clue what I was doing.
Mm.
You know, I knew that I was going to be sealed to my family, but I didn't know promises that I was making to him. And that really made me sad when I found that out. Mm. Like, wow, you know, it's more to it than just families being together forever. Mm. And I didn't know that.
Could you maybe talk about when that happened, you know, from not really knowing? And then when was the first time that you were like, man, this is what the temple is all about?
Actually, it didn't really start hitting me until like, well, I fell away, you know, went through a divorce and I fell away. And until Isaiah, but you know, the funny thing is I always thought, you know, what would ever bring me back to the gospel? You know, what would ever bring me back? I didn't know how. I mean, because it's so funny because like, even though I was inactive for 20 something years, you know, I had these garments that I didn't wear, but I never got rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew why I didn't. And then there was just like, I think a pivotal moment was when Isaiah got endowed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I went to the temple, you know, the Atlanta, Georgia temple, he got endowed. And I was watching everybody so happy and going in and Isaiah's going back there. And I was left in the waiting room for those hours. Like, wow, this is like really something significant in my son's life and I can't even be a part of it. But when I was in there by myself, I just, those couple hours, I was just reading the proclamations and I was reading all, you know, everything that was in the room, like pertaining to Christ and families. And I think that's when I was like, okay, you know, this happened. And I kind of like promised to myself, I was like, well, I'm not going to say anything to anybody, but like by the time Isaiah comes home from his mission, I'm going to be back in church.
Wow.
But I did not ever want to come back. The only way I knew I would come back is like if I knew that I would never leave again.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be like, oh, I'm back and I'm not, I'm back. I knew that that's not what I wanted to do. But I think that him getting in doubt and I wasn't, I mean, I was a part of it, but not really a part of it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So you said you were reading the proclamation to the world and these other things. What was like that feeling that came over you, or what was that pivot moment? You're like, I want to change, or I want to come back?
I guess, you know what, it really probably was just being in that whole room by myself in silence and just allowing the Lord to, like, let me hear and let me see, mm-hmm. like, you know, what I've been missing. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, I was missing that significant event, to be honest, I'm glad I was lost for a minute.
Really?
I mean, I know that might not make sense to other people, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't be where I am today if I wasn't. And, you know, that was a part of his plan, you know, mm-hmm. because I just went to church because I was supposed to go to church. I was baptized, you know. I didn't really know, like, the significance, you know, of his plan. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I wasn't, you know, it wasn't a good thing for me to, like, you know, fall away. But I'm glad that I did, because I wouldn't have the testimony that I have today of the gospel.
Right.
But my Savior, who saved me.
Mm. You know, everything leading up to that point, you know, there were some years,
yeah.
you know, involved of you not being a part of the faith. You had mentioned that you joined, but you didn't really know. Mm-hmm. You didn't have a testimony. We could spare the details of, you know, of you and my father divorcing. But
yeah.
when you guys divorced, you both fell away mm-hmm. from the church and stopped going to church.
Yeah.
And you entered into another relationship.
Yeah.
But it wasn't with a man.
Right.
It was with a woman. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, same gender relationship. Mm-hmm. And you were in that relationship for 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And again, being empathetic to our audience, there are individuals out there that deal with those feelings, same sex mm-hmm. attraction, and they enter those type of relationships. For you, I mean, how was that journey for you? Like, was it something that you always felt, or was it a choice that you know?
Yeah. So basically, you know, this is what I want people to know, because some people, even family members, think, oh, this person broke up a family. What people don't know is, you know, my heart had already left my relationship with my husband, mm-hmm. ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't know the dynamics of what happens inside a person's home.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, you know, as a young girl, you know, it's crazy. I was just thinking this morning, you know, getting ready to come here, I was like, you know, it's crazy. People think that, you know, people break up people's families, but that's not true, because, like, in my family, I'm not the only one that had those tendencies. But as, you know, in school, I can remember, like, seriously having a crush on one of my teachers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like people think that, you know, it's just something that people, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, for me, and I'm speaking for me, I'm not speaking for the community. I just want to share my journey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I did have those tendencies. I had, like, oh, I'm attracted to her, you know, but it wasn't like every woman I see. Mm-hmm. It was just like those feelings would come if I felt a connection with a person, like, and I won't say her name, but the teacher, it was like, oh man, I really think she's really nice. I like her, you know, and in that way,
mm-hmm.
you know, but there was not, like, often, you know, that's how I felt, like, oh, I want to live my life. It was just those tendencies and those feelings. I did have those feelings.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's so weird, because, like, the relationship that I did end up being in for those years, we were friends from third grade.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
It wasn't like it's somebody I met. Like, we grew up in the same community.
Wow.
And we were friends since third grade.
Oh.
And the blessing of that is today we are still friends, even mm-hmm. though we're not in that same gender relationship. And it's weird how it's like, she's on her path and journey. And, you know, it was so happy for me to know that she was so happy. You know, she called me and said, I'm getting baptized. You know, it was not into our church,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't matter to me, because it's like, you know, it amazes me how, like, when I was in that relationship, we never spoke about the gospel. I didn't even pray. You know, I just lived. And it's like now, you know, we are on the phone talking about the gospel. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about scriptures, you know, and it's weird how people might think this is weird and crazy, but how I think the Lord covered us. And it's like we didn't like leave that relationship and go into another one. Mm. It's like we changed our lives and we went on the path of righteousness.
Most definitely. It's definitely been times in my life where I felt that, you know, where I was living that life and should have been in jail, and the Lord came in and had a different plan for me, you know. And I strongly believe that the Lord will come in and help us navigate whatever situation that we're going through. I love that. I love your story.
I didn't share this with you, but she actually reached out to me last week, called me. Or she texted me first and she was like, hey, can you call me when you have some time? And so I called her and she was like, yeah, I was watching one of your episodes and you had mentioned, you know, that you when you grew up, you grew up without the gospel, that you didn't know. And then she started to explain how she apologized. And she was just like, I want to apologize to you because I was in that household, you know, with you growing up. And, you know, being in that household, even though I was, you know, me and your mom were, you know, in a wrong relationship, I still could have shared something with you because I believed in God, you know. But she mentioned there was part of the shame that she felt that took place where she never talked to me about it. And and that's normal. And honestly, at this point, like I expressed to her, I was like, you know, there is no need to apologize. You know, there's no need to feel that you need to apologize or feel any type of shame for where we are now. Because the way I see it, being raised in a household with two women, I mean, I don't feel like I missed out on anything outside of course, having a father figure there. That as I grew up, that it did affect me, but it didn't affect me to a point where I felt like I was lacking in any sense of support or security from parent figure, mm-hmm. you know, because my dad not being in my life was his choice. He still could have been there, you know, in his capacity. But anyways, I don't want to derail too much, but I just wanted to point it out that when we decide to change a course of direction in our life, that forgiveness from the Savior is there. And freely, you know, I give it because I'm grateful, you know, for how things played out. You know, it played out in a way where he eventually brought us back to him, mm-hmm. you know, in his own way. And there are many people out there. I mean, because you were in this relationship for a long time, like
20 some years,
you know. Yeah, a long time. And there's a lot of, you know, stigma behind those tendencies that you mentioned of mm-hmm. why people have it, whether they're born with it or whether there's a choice. Like you mentioned, you had those tendencies when you were little, mm-hmm. you know, and when you were growing up. So where was the shift for you? Like where was it to where you were just like those tendencies didn't so much become tendencies mm-hmm. for you?
Kind of like, yeah, as I, you know, evolved and started getting older, you know, and of course you see media and the environment that we grew up in, it was prevalent, you know, it was natural, you know, so, mm-hmm. but I still didn't like, you know, make the choice to do that. But it, not to say that the tendencies wasn't still there. They just wasn't outwardly expressed, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and not to say that, you know, when I chose to be married, you know, and have kids, you know, that's something that I still like, oh, I want to do that. That's not how it was for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just kind of like, you know, I just think that like, for me, it was kind of different because even when I chose to do that, chose to make that decision and chose that life, I knew that it wasn't right. Mm. I knew it wasn't right in God's eyes. but I still chose to do it. Mm. And that's where my agency came in. And a lot of people think that it's more like when they see two, you know, same gender people together, it's like they think of a more sexual or, you know, environment and things like that. But I'm not to say that those things don't happen, mm-hmm. but that's really not the focus, or at least for me and the relationship I was in. It was more of like being with an understanding person and a person that is like your friend and like is there for you and like what you would want in a marriage between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
But you never got it.
Right.
But you got it, but it's not like, you know, the Lord planned for it to happen. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's kind of like, that was the choice that I made. You know, I was with a really good person that treated me like I wanted to be treated and acknowledged, you know, that like, it's because of me that the love comes. It's not because of, you know, what I look like or the physical attraction of mm-hmm. it. That's not what it was for me, you know? So, but I do want, to say that, like, I knew that it wasn't right. But my thing is, it was a hard repentance process for me. It took me, like, the whole time Isaiah was on his mission, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like I stated before, you know, earlier, it's kind of like, I'm glad that the Lord allowed me to have the agency and, you know, the repentance process and the forgiveness. But it took me a long time to even forgive myself because I felt like sometimes I felt like, you know, the things that happened and the relationships I had with my kids was because of the choice that I made and the relationship that I chose to be in.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, and I've always been a mom, you know, that like put my kids first. You know, it's like, I as a mom, I feel like I know how Heavenly Fathers feel. You would give your life for them. You know, like Jesus gave his life for us. That's kind of like how I felt as a mom. Mm-hmm.
So my question is, you kept saying, talking about agency and how you took that action to leave that relationship. How did you navigate that with your companion, your partner that you were with, and then saying, hey, I want to stop this and I want to go back to the church. I want to follow the gospel. How did that dynamic work? And
well,
how did you work through that?
The same way you work through like a man and woman relationship as a divorce. To me, it felt like a divorce because like over 20 years, you don't just like be with somebody for over 20 years and be like, okay, we're done. Mm-hmm. I'm walking out. This mm-hmm. person helped me raise my son. Mm-hmm. She was like more of a mom to him than me. You know, there was like not just physical feelings that was attached. You know, there was emotional feelings that was attached to that. Mm-hmm. You know, and you just don't walk away from 20 years and be like, oh, yeah. And it was hard because the hardest part was like, it was during the time that Isaiah got called for his mission. Mm. And I remember the day we were moving out and it was just like she was there and she couldn't even be there like when we were moving, you know, the things out. And, you know, it was like we both were going through this emotional roller coaster of sadness. And it was hard. Mm-hmm. It was not easy. It wasn't an easy process. But she understood like I did, you know, she accepted that, you know, and we kind of knew, you know, it was just kind of like, I remember one time we had a conversation and it came to like, I think that she knew that I would probably eventually not make this decision to be in the relationship because I remember one time I said that, you know, I'm giving you all I can. And that meant that, you know, I can only love you so much. And I felt that way because I knew that our relationship was not right in God's eyes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but the ending process was, it was a transition. And, you know, we didn't speak for, you know, we kind of like separated. But, eventually we came back and, you know, was able to discuss things and, like, you know that, you know, we made the right decision because we know we weren't living right. You know, we both acknowledged that, you know, right. But I'm not just saying, you know, I'm not giving Isaiah glory and I'm not, you know, giving him the honor, but I do believe that with him going on a mission and coming to the gospel, the Lord used him as that vessel to roll the ball for me to, like, really, like, be strong enough to say, okay, it's time. I got to make that decision.
All right.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that part of your journey with us. And now for our single fellas out there, she's looking for a husband.
I tell you right now, I am not 20 some years old anymore. I know what I want. And and if he ain't ready to go make those covenants in the temple,
don't. Loom popper.
On to the next.
Yeah. On to the next. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ma, for being vulnerable and sharing that that part of your journey with us. Because for me and I personally have expressed this to you before, but you, to me, have just been just an awesome example of someone that exercises faith and have allowed the Savior to have a full impact in their life in terms of having that atoning power active. You know, I'm a firsthand witness of that. And to this day, your faith and your testimony and your just love for the Savior, not even the gospel, but your love for him, outwardly shows and expressed. And so I really and greatly appreciate, you know, you being that example and true daughter that you have been and that you are.
I do want to express something because, like, in my family, you know, that dynamic of those kind of relationships are prevalent. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter to me because my love for them, like, it's so overwhelming. And I love them where they are. And not only my family, but, you know, the other people out there that, you know, are facing those challenges and have decided to live, you know, that life. Mm-hmm. I love them. You know, I see them. And I hate when other people judge and say, I don't want to be around them people. You know, it's like, you know, unless you've been there and you understand and you don't and have compassion and feeling, because nobody can say, you know, they can't judge those people or judge the choices that they make, because God is our judge.
Yeah.
And I think that I feel so much compassion because it's like I've been there and I'm thinking, oh, I'm sure I've been looked at like that before. And I know I have, even in my own family. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm glad that, you know, he's given me, you know, the compassion and the love. Now I know what charity really is, because it doesn't matter, like, what choices somebody make, you still love them. But the saddest thing within my family is kind of like, they don't even really know the capacity of love. And, you know, I don't even really think that they know me. They see me as, you know, the person that's been there and that's always been there to call on, but they don't really know me, you know, and it makes me sad, you know, to have, and especially sisters, you know, that's not in the gospel. Like, if I died today, my sisters wouldn't even be able to, like, write my obituary because they don't know who Lorene is. But then I have sisters in the gospel that know Lorene. And I know family is not just biological family, you know, because that's how the Lord created us. But in my life, it would have been good to have those sisters to lean on biologically.
Love that. I was literally going to ask that question about because my older brother, who's not here on this earth anymore, struggled with same-sex attraction, you know. And I remember him coming home at the age of 18 and telling my mom and our family, and my mom like kind of losing it, like just like going off on him. And it was hard, you know. It was hard to know how to navigate it, and I was really young and didn't know what to do. And but I love how you talked about charity and having that love for him or for them or for those people that struggle, you know, because at the end of the day, when we're out doing whatever we're doing on this earth, our Savior, our Heavenly Father, they're still loving us. Mm-hmm. And so I love that. I think that's the best advice you can give someone is to, regardless of how they're living their life, you should still love them because they're your blood. They're your family. They're your friend. They're your brother or sister. Mm-hmm. And I love how you beautifully explain that like we need to love them, mm-hmm. and not just, hey, how you doing? Yeah. But like, you need to be mm-hmm. like more than you can imagine there for them.
Mm-hmm. I loved what you said about also the thing about charity is that the trials that we go through, it increases our capacity to be able to have grace for those that are going through the same struggle or something different. Mm-hmm. Because it's until you're actually in that space of whatever trial it is, if it's something like yours or if it's a sickness or a weakness or an addiction or anything like that, you really can't help that person fully mm-hmm. or have understanding until you've actually walked in their shoes, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think when we go through trials, it opens our eyes and makes us more Christ-like because yeah. we're like, I don't understand what you're going through, but I'm dealing with my own struggles and I can feel you. I can identify in some type mm-hmm. of way of what you're going through. And so I think that's what, if we could all do that
yeah.
across the church or just in general across the world, if we could mm-hmm. just have that capacity to just open our eyes and open our hearts, mm-hmm. I think that's what creates the healing.
Yeah, but what I really think for me has been a really help, which I know it has been, is like really focusing in on the temple and the promises and the covenants that I made. Because I know, like, when I went through the temple in 1987 in Dallas, Texas, I was like, okay. But when I went to the temple and when I came back to the gospel, I literally like wanted to know what I had done. And I literally started from, I think I did initiatories for like at least 6 months. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to move to the next step until I understood what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that like now it's kind of like when I go through the temple, it was just like, that's where my compassion and charity comes from, because I'm understanding like what I've done, mm-hmm. what I've promised, and the covenants I'm making. And it was like, I never even knew what I had done. I was just, come to church. I'm a Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sealed to my family.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know, but I'm sealed to him too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing that, because so many people, when things go wrong in their lives or if they don't quite agree with something that are in the church, they're quick to blame the church. Oh, the church didn't teach me this, or they didn't prepare me enough for this. But you are here being a witness saying, no, like, I need to find out for myself. Yeah, like, right. I need to find out for myself what I have entered into, what these mm-hmm. covenants are. And that goes back, again, it's just testimony builder to something that the clip I showed you with Elder Bednar uh-huh. about. Him saying, you know, Joseph Smith's example of going into the grove, finding out for himself about Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. And when his mom asked him, like, what's wrong? Like, mm-hmm. what happened? And he's like, I now know for myself mm-hmm. the true God, essentially, just paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's so important for us as members or Christians in general to find out for ourselves. Like, mm-hmm. don't rely on other people or men to teach you things about the Savior, because the scriptures teaches that we are to learn by revelation and by faith, and that comes from God. And that can take a lot of bad feelings that people get, you know, about the church or, you know, or God in general, when things go wrong, is because they're just not putting in the work, the spiritual work, to truly find out for themselves.
Yeah, for me, and I'm saying for me, it's important for me, you know, because I'm gonna be honest, for a long time, you know, I did piggyback on Isaiah and his brother Howard's testimony and other people, you know, that I thought was really strong in the gospel. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, I have a testimony because, you know, they have a testimony, but do I really have a testimony? And I did not really have a testimony. I didn't really know for myself, you know, and then you get, you know, and, you know, then there's, well, why did you go to that church? And then it makes people think, well, they did black people this way. And it's like, for me, it's not about a race. It's about God, because he created me. He doesn't see me as a black woman. He see me as his daughter.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, and to be honest, I mean, there's things that, you know, and I won't say I struggle with, but it was just like Relief Society, for example. There's not a lot of people like me in Relief Society. I was in Kansas City and Georgia, you know, and in Georgia, I was called the token by one of my own sisters that looked like me. Oh, you're the token of the Roswell War. And I was like, what? And it was just like, you know, it's like, no, I'm the sister like everybody else. But I think, like, maybe being the token, I have seen, like, especially in Relief Society, because sometimes it's kind of like, I'm always, like, going to God saying, like, am I doing enough? Am I even contributing? Am I doing what you need me to do? You know, and every time I ask that question, like, from Roswell to even, like, since I've been here, just last week, I had a talk with, you know, my Relief Society president. She just called me. She was like, you know, Lorene, I just want to let you know that, like, you're amazing. And I'm kind of hard, like, to take compliments, because I'm always thinking, you know, am I serving you, Lord? Am I doing, you know, what you need me to do, you know? And I'm not very scriptorial, but I try to live by example, and I just share, you know, what I feel with people, you know, when I talk to them. I don't always have to talk about the scriptures. And when she was telling me, like, you're amazing, you know, and it's like, when you make a comment, and I just want to thank you for something, you know, you make a comment, and not often in Relief Society, but when you do, it's like, my ear's always keen. Let me hear what she has to say. And you made a comment last week, and I didn't have right to hear everything, but what you did made me go get my hearing aids, so that when you do make a comment, I can hear what you have to say. And I was like amazed, because I was like, I'm just me, you know, I'm not just like a special person, but like every time I ask the Lord, am I doing enough? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Then he lets me know. You know, I just try to, like, be who I am, you know, and I remember in Roswell, you know, one of the sisters, she's like, Lorene, I like, you know, that you just let us know, no, you don't understand this pioneer stuff, and you're not a pioneer, but, you know, we don't know your culture. You bring in something to us, you know, what we don't know, right. You know, so it's kind of like, I think it's good for all of us, because we're all different, you know, and I'm honest. If I can't comprehend, or I'm not understanding, or like, I don't feel what you're feeling, I'm not going to sit there and agree, oh yeah, because, you know, that sister says that, you know, that's how we should know. That was not my walk of life. And to be honest, sometimes it makes me feel like, if these sisters only knew how blessed they have been to, like, have the life that they've lived coming up in the gospel. I'm just glad that I have the opportunity to see both sides. And I think sometimes that's an advantage for me, because I know that what it's like on the dark side, and to see the light.
Right.
It's so much more gratifying to know that, you know, this is what I'm striving for. Because I remember listening to, I don't remember who it, what apostle it was. It's like, salvation is an individual thing, but families are forever. And that doesn't just mean like Isaiah and his family and Howard and his family. Mm. It means everybody. It means all of us.
Right.
You know, my grandma, you know, my dad, my brothers that's on the other side, you know, I've had the work to, had the opportunity to do the work for them. You know, the brothers that I've lost, you know, it's kind of like, I want to sit at the table with them. That's exaltation for me. Mm-hmm. That's what family means to me. You know, and that's what this church teaches me, have taught me, you know, what it's supposed to be like. You know, and I'm not a political person. I'm not like, you know, and things that are happening around the world, you know, I used to fear it. I don't fear it anymore because it's like, are we not listening to, you know, our leaders? You know, they counsel us. You know, they can't, you know, like make choices for us. But I know when they say prepare yourself spiritually, that's what I'm trying to do. I know we have to have like be prepared for like food storage and all that. But for me, the important thing is, you know, I want my spirit to be right, you know. A can of beans not gonna save me, you know. I'm like, you know, I mean, it's gonna help if we, you know, we go through a thing right. or something. But when President Nelson says to prepare spiritually, that's what I'm striving to do.
That is awesome. I know you hit on it just a little bit, but would love to go in a little bit more depth about, because obviously you're a Black woman,
yeah,
a part of a church that has had some indecent history when it comes to us as Black people. And so why, you know, for our Black women, you know, out there that are, or our Black community in general, that's out there listening, why did you choose to be a part of this faith as a Black woman, knowing the bad history that we have had?
Well, for me, that's not hard to answer because, like, there's always been those issues. And I've just come to accept that they're not going to go away. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, the Lord don't perform miracles and he could take them away if he wants to. But this is just me. I'm not saying that this is the gospel. This is how I feel. I feel like, you know, the Lord is allowing things to happen, you know, whether it's race issues, whether, you know, disagreements. But as a Black woman, I don't see myself as like looking at just because this church is predominantly wonderful, you know, I don't want to say white.
I love it.
And, you know, I'm a Black, you know, I'm a Black woman in the church. I mean, I just wish that we could get past that part. Mm-hmm. And I know there's some people that's even in the church, but like the Lord says, there'll be sifting in the church too. Mm-hmm. I mean, those who are not righteous and doesn't have that pure love of charity, you know, he knows his people. Mm-hmm. But as like a race, being a Black woman in the gospel, in this church, that doesn't bother me. And it doesn't bother me about who did what in the history. Because mm-hmm. nobody's perfect. No prophet is perfect, no in past or future. But what we do, what I do know is that I don't believe that the Lord would, for me, I don't believe what I feel in my testimony, that the Lord would lead me astray and have me to believe in something that's not real and that's of him. Mm. I don't know if that answered that question, but.
Of course.
Because I remember when I first moved to Utah, my mom was like, you going out there to marry a white man? And I was just like, well, what makes you think there's no Black men in the church? Uh-huh. You know, so it's kind of like, it's always a race thing.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have to accept it because that's how it is. Mm. But it doesn't make me feel bad, you know, being a Black woman in the church. Because, you know, when Sister Browning got called to her calling, I remember that conference. I sat there and wept. And not only that, like, one of my friends called and said, Lorene, did you just see who just got called? She's not a Black woman. She's my sister. Mm-hmm. She was just as happy and thrilled as I was. Mm-hmm. And I hope one day to meet her and talk, have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully she'll be on the show one day.
Yeah. I love how you talked about race and how it's not a part of your conversion, you know? And I think that's the way it should be, mm-hmm. you know? Like, it should be, like, that's who you are, but it's not who you are, if that makes sense, you know? And so I think for our brothers and sisters out there that are struggling with that, your advice and your testimony and your journey, it's so powerful. And the spirit that's in this room is, it's amazing, you know? And
thank you.
I just love that. I love your advice on multiple levels of all the things that you just talked about. And thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just a short version of it.
Yeah. Condensed version.
Yeah, condensed.
Well, what would you have from Lorene, the Gospel of Lorene, mm-hmm. Anything that you would like to share, you know, with our audience, any parting words, whether it be about yourself, whether it be about the Savior, the Gospel, whatever you would like, what would you want our audience to know?
Well, I wish my family would be a part of the audience. I hope they see this. but I just would like them to know that, like, for me, if we could put differences aside and feelings and just love one another, that's the biggest thing for me. You know, even though I know, like, sometimes my family think I'm, you know, kind of feisty and I just verbalize and say things, but I just kind of like, I think that is, that's what gets us through is love. Mm-hmm. And if you don't love, how can, you know, expect, you know, the Lord to, you know, one thing I like is like when I get to a point, like, especially when it comes to family, it's like, I used to struggle with this, but now that I know what pure love is, it's kind of like, it's easy for me now. It's like the Lord says, how many times are you supposed to forgive your brother? 70 times seven. That's never ending. Mm-hmm. And not to say that, you know, I don't falter and we don't have setbacks. And sometimes we don't have separation. And sometimes separation is good for the soul. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about Nephi, how he had to separate from his family, but it was for his good. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't make it easy.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that that love is even stronger. And I just think for me, it's just important for everybody to know that, like, if they just open their heart and just have a pure heart, I mean, love can overconquer anything. That's what can fix it.
Amen.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Thank you again so much for coming on. And
sorry for being so emotional, but it's not tears of sorrow. They're tears of joy. Yeah.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. Nothing that you said could be overstated. And thank you, you know, to our audience that have tuned in to this episode and joined us. I just want to close with expressing love. I want to express love mostly right now to the LGBTQ community. We as Christians, I feel, need to be better at viewing one another as they are and truly seeing one another as children of God. All are welcome to Him, no matter where you are. The one thing that I feel like we can misconstrue and we twist quite a bit, being disciples and followers of Christ, is not creating a boundary between evil agendas that are being pushed, that are contrary to God's, law and His plan for us as His children. And we like to throw one another in that, as individuals, as His children. And so I want to invite all of us to do a better job at that, separating the people from the sin and seeing one another as we are and just loving one another. And thank you all again for tuning in and joining us in this episode. And until we meet again, be perceptive and pray. Thank you for joining us on Brothers in the Foyer.
Thanks for having me.